Well, good morning. How are we all doing today? That's awesome. We're talking about gifts this month. And I wanted to just start off with a rendition here of one of the gifts that I received as a young child growing up in the Lutheran Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. I declare that God's faithful promises are a gift from above, and those promises are my armor and my protection. That's the declaration that we did today, and I kind of added a little bit to it. But God so loved the world that he gave a gift, his only begotten Son, to live and to reign in the hearts of you and me when we invite him into our heart, confessing our sins and making him our Lord and our Savior. Do you see what I see? I see the greatest gift, and that gift is a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We get a 3-for-1 deal, kind of like a Kmart special, 3-for-1. It's our salvation and our eternal hope. We got a really good deal. And that's a really good, good gift. So as I said, the month of December is our theme on gifts. And though our greatest gift is our relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have many gifts that help us to draw closer to him, to renew our minds and to walk as he walked on this earth, to have heaven on earth or peace on earth. Who doesn't look for peace? Who doesn't need peace? In the scriptures, the word gift has 3 senses. Gifts men give to men, sacrificial offerings presented to God, gifts God gives to men, especially in a connection with salvation, righteousness, and grace. So when we talk about like gifts that men give to men, we just think about presents, things that we give each other, blessings that we help each other with. Maybe it's a gift of time, or it's a gift of a talent, or maybe it's gift of, you know, just helping somebody. Maybe we received an inheritance. Or maybe that gift is a word passed down through the generations. I know, like, growing up, I loved going to my grandma's, and we always read the Christmas story. That was like a tradition that we did. And I feel like that's a gift. It's a precious gift. Mary Kay touched on our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That gift, that prayer, that promise that we have that was heaven sent. And acts of kindness, or your sacrificial gifts presented to God. Like the shepherds, they went to see Jesus and they brought frankincense and myrrh and gold. Abraham, he sacrificed his son Isaac back to God, who was a part of Jesus' genealogy. And God had a bigger plan than Isaac was even aware of. Can you imagine, or that Abraham was even aware of, can you imagine what the world would have looked like if Abraham would have said, no, I'm not sacrificing my son. I'm not sacrificing my son to you. There may not have been a Jesus when you fall back that far. Maybe we're sacrificing the pain that we carry in our heart and lay it at the foot of the cross. Sometimes that's a sacrifice, because sometimes we carry that pain like a badge of honor, and you get so used to carrying that stuff. our finances, our tithes. Maybe it's our time and our talent and our treasures. Or maybe it's God-breathed blessings, agape, our home, this beautiful building, our new sound system, all the people that helped pull this all together. You guys are all gifts. The decorations, this church family, your extended family, all your friends, or your talents, musicians, singers. You know, maybe you have a gift in being in carpentry, or a designer, or you're a cook. Those are all awesome gifts. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven in James 1:17. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. So when we think about the spiritual gifts, granting or receiving forgiveness, gaining understanding of God's direction and his ways, unconditional love, agape love, being reconciled to God, or reconciling with others, God's provisions, open doors to new beginnings, courage, hope, love, self-control, all those things are just beautiful gifts. And they're not tangible. You can't like hold it in your hand, but you can definitely carry it in your heart. And that's where we want to make a difference. And that's where the rubber really meets the road, because all the material things, they fall away. But it's what we carry here. Our gift of communion with God, prayer to communicate with him, talk to him on a daily basis. In 1 Corinthians 12, it states the gifts of the Holy Spirit that distributes, activates, and operates in his believers. And we need to keep in mind, we as believers don't all have the same gifts. We're all unique and special in God's eyes. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about continuous revelation, the word of wisdom, revelation knowledge, gift of faith, gift of healing, power to work miracles, gift of discernment, the gift of tongues, your prayer language to God, your interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, which helps build up the church. Your gift of tongues is your gift to talking to God. The gift of the Holy Spirit, to take a step back and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide, listening to that still small voice. In 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, a hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God. But God wasn't to be found in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire was a gentle and quiet whisper, that still small voice. You know, God doesn't cause the storms in our lives, but his stillness will help us to pick up the pieces. He doesn't cause them, but he's there to help us through. Wisdom, the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom, and the gift of repentance, turning away from your way and seeking God's way of doing and being right. He gives us the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to turn a corner and go a different direction, to make a better choice, to make a godly decision, and to trust God with the results. And the gifts of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, life, and virtue, faith, gentleness, strength of spirit. And the one I want to focus on is the gift of his amazing grace, an undeserved gift. Yet, as we are all still sinners, he gives us his amazing grace. In the Bible, grace is defined as an unmerited favor, kindness, and mercy of God. It is God's freely given, undeserved love and assistance to humanity, particularly in the context of salvation and forgiveness of sins. And the word grace is mentioned between 130 and 170 times in the Bible. The concept first occurred in Genesis 6:8 when Noah finds favor in the eyes of the Lord. The context is that in that is that the Lord was grieved at how many man's wickedness on the earth had become. It's always a blessing to be on the receiving end of grace, to be seen with favor in the eyes of the Lord. But he grieves when we turn our eyes away from him and we operate in a way that's not honoring to him. Are you a giver of grace, mercy, forgiveness, kind words, edification? Maybe you were hurt by another person who does not deserve to be forgiven. They don't deserve grace. They deserve to hurt and suffer. Just like I'm hurting. How many have ever thought that and said that? They don't deserve a second chance. I'm not going to apologize for my behavior. I have a right to be mad. I have that right. But if we take that problem and we look at it like a pie, maybe that person you're upset with is 80% to blame. And your actions make you accountable for 20%. Taking responsible for your 20% is extending accountability for yourself and setting yourself free from the bondage that it could create. Extending forgiveness to a person just as Christ has forgiven you. Even if that person doesn't take responsibility, you are still set free in the eyes of the Lord. It's God's problem to work on the hearts of his people. And I think about a time when I was working and I had a little skiff with my boss. I was mad. I had every right to be mad. And I don't remember what the situation was, but I walked out of her office and I slammed the door and walked back to my desk and I was ticked off. And I didn't even make it up to my desk and the Lord stopped me and said, "You go back and apologize." And I'm like, fine. But you do that. I go in and it's like, I'm sorry for the way I responded. I may not agree with what's going on, but I didn't have any right to respond that way. And I ask for you to forgive me. Leave the rest to him. It's an act of faith. It's always an honor to receive a gift of grace from people that are around us. Yes, he does work through people, but people are people, and they make mistakes. They don't know at times what they're doing, and they're responding out of their pain and not out of their healing. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just like Jesus said on the cross. Take a step back and forgive because of what Christ has done for you at the cross on Calvary. Jesus walked on this earth as a man, living a life of sacrifice for me and for you, knowing that he was going to hang on that tree for the sins of the world. His tender mercy and grace can lead you to healing and wholeness. His ways can give us the gift of peace on earth. Lord God, help me to see others through your eyes of love, and forgive me for not displaying your grace and your mercy to them, just as you did for me. Ultimately, this gift of amazing grace comes from God, but we can activate it in our relationships with others. Grace is an amazing gift, and grace wins every time. I have a few words of scripture that are gifts from the Lord, and I just wanted to breeze through them real quick as we come to a close. In James 1, 17 through 18, everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from him. These good gifts come down from the Father who made all the lights in the sky. But God never changes like the shadows from those lights. He's always the same. God decided to give us life through the true message he sent to us. And he wanted us to be the most important of all that he created. You guys are all God's favorite kids. We're all his favorites. In Luke 6:31, here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. then grab the initiative and do it for him. Luke 6, 35 and 36, I tell you to love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, never regret it. Live out this God-created identity with way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind, and you be kind. Luke 6, 37, 38, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down, that hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. If you want it, give it away. It will come back to you in good measure, shaken together and running over. Your bosoms will be full. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance of life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, and able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. And the last one, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. If you guys could all stand. Father God, thank you for your gift of amazing grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in the heart and soul of each and every one of us. Help us to listen to your still small voice that leads, guides, and directs every aspect of our life. We know that your way is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus. Increase our awareness of your presence, Lord, and help us to hear your voice. We know that the gifts you have for us are good and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. Help us to hold on to the hem of your garment and push away the crowds of deception that are trying to steer us away from your love and your presence. Thank you for the gift of second chances. We stand in thankfulness and humility as we receive the gift of your presence that walks us through the valleys and the mountains of life. Thank you for your hope and your unconditional love. In Jesus' name.